Translation. Mother Yashoda challenged Krishna, "If you have not eaten earth, then open your mouth wide." When challenged by his mother in this way, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, to exhibit pastimes like a human child, opened his mouth. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is full of all opulences, did not disturb his mother, parental affection, his opulences were automatically displayed, for Krishna's opulences is never lost at any stage, but is manifest at the proper time. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Without disturbing the ecstasy of his mother's affection, Krishna opened his mouth and displayed his own natural opulences. When a person is given varieties of food, there may be 101 varieties, but if one likes ordinary shak, spinach, he prefers to eat that. Similarly, although Krishna was full of opulences, now by the order of his mother, he should have opened wide his mouth like a human child and did not neglect the transcendental humour of maternal affection. Om Miganti Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svavadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastatya Deshatarine. So this verse is stating that, you know, Krishna is Krishna in any situation. But he's appearing in different ways according to the way individuals want to see him. In the material world, he appears in so many ghastly forms and ultimately as cruel death. Why? Because there's nothing exists outside the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his energies. They're all one. There's nothing exists outside that. Sometimes you think of, you know, we tend to think of in material life, we see that everybody's existing in time, place, and circumstance. And, you know, we exhibit our activities within that, and we grow within that. But it's not like that with Krishna. Krishna is that space. Krishna is everything. And that's difficult to understand. It's not like he's expanding into somewhere. That's something that's already existing. He is creation. When he expands, that's actually something completely new and unique. I spoke last time, about a week ago maybe 10 days ago, about although he's a supreme person, like there's different understandings of how he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's reciprocating with people according to their surrender, and he's revealing his true nature. And his true nature is actually a person. He's an individual. And all these other things, these great opulences and so many things in this world, they actually camouflage that. But he's actually a person who has relationships. And that's why we have relationships in the material world. And but those relationships, we sometimes, devotees may think, different levels of devotees may think that he's taking on this particular form just to reciprocate with his devotee. You know, that he's actually, he's like Mahavi, you know, he's like a very powerful living entity who's taking on these more insignificant forms to reciprocate. But no, that is his form. That's the point we made last time, that his different forms from baby through to youth and manhood. He never goes beyond manhood, by the way. There's no old age. He's exhibiting these different original forms of himself to reciprocate eternally with his devotees. And everything else is actually secondary to that. When he's showing the form to Mother Yashoda, Mother Yashoda's looking in his mouth, and she becomes completely bewildered. And she starts to think, wow, my son's, it's not my son, he's a very powerful living entity. He may be even the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so she starts to change her mood. And immediately at that point, the Maya Devi, or the internal potency of the Lord, starts to cover those thoughts and cover Krishna's opulence. And then she forgets about it. And then she realizes, simultaneously, this is the Supreme Lord, but I don't care. It's my son. And, you know, like that. So that's not something we can easily understand, but also Krishna's feeling like that. In his pastimes, like the Damodar Leela, which follows this particular pastime, you know, he's actually frightened of his mother, but he's remembering his opulences. How is that possible? He's thinking, he's running away from his mother. And then after he looks back, how is it that she's still only one arm length behind me? You know, I can outrun anybody. We know, we read the Isha Upanishads. I can outrun all others running. Even the powerful demigods cannot approach me. I'm faster than the mind. But yeah, my mother's still one arm length behind me. I can't understand it. I'm the Supreme Lord. But I'm frightened of my mother. It's like inconceivable. And we came to the conclusion this is the potency of a Chinchi Beda Beda Tattva. And Krishna's, and Mother Yashoda's thinking, he's only 3.5 years old. You know, why can't I catch him? I should be able to catch him in no time. But I'm running and running, and I just cannot catch him. And so it's explained in the by the Acharyas that this is, the two things are happening. Krishna is swarat. He's completely independent. In the Isha Upanishad, it says sambhuti. He doesn't actually rely on anything else. There's nothing to stop him from being completely independent and completely expanding his opulences unlimitedly. So this complete independence of Krishna is stopping Mother Yashoda from catching him. And simultaneously, Krishna can't get away, even though he's independent, because the love of his devotee is so powerful, it's actually, you know, it's drawing him back. So there's this competition going on. And this is what's happening in the spiritual world. Competition is always there. And even when Krishna's, you know, he pulls the Arjuna trees down later on in the pastime, crash, and everybody falls unconscious. It's such a big crack. One crack is when they break, and then when they hit the floor, another one. And they all fall unconscious. And then after, you know, Lord Krishna's spoken to the two demigods to free them from their curse, everybody comes back to external consciousness again, and they all come running to see what's happened. And Krishna says to the coward boys, come on, let's hide in the bushes, otherwise we'll be in big trouble. And so they all hide in the foliage of these two fallen trees, and they're looking through the gap, and they see Nanda Maharaj and all his guards and men, they're all speculating what's happened. They can't understand. And they hear the conversation. And then from the house on the top of the hill, Mother Yashoda comes down. And as she comes down, they all feel, you know, Krishna feels weaker and weaker and weaker. And as she comes to the, just a few yards away, they all have to come out of the foliage and reveal themselves. Because they can't mind, you know, that devotion and attraction to his mother is drawing him out. So this is the nature of spiritual life. Is that just in the material world it's the same, is it? Is it the same in the material world? Everybody knows. Of course it's the same. Not exactly the same, but, you know, what makes things work in the material world is when there's some connection, is it? When there's a connection between living entities, then things start to happen. If somebody reciprocates with us, then we reciprocate with them. And this is what's going on. But, you know, the reciprocation is limited because we're limited. We can't reciprocate completely with somebody, and they can't completely reciprocate with us. And so there's dissatisfaction. And then there's fighting and wars and so many things. And then things just escalate the wrong way. So the key to this particular class is, you know, we have to learn how to reciprocate with the source of everything. If we can reciprocate with the source of everything, we can have unlimited reciprocation, which goes on eternally. It's eternally expanding. Krishna's unlimited, his swarat is increasing. The bliss is increasing, the pastime's increasing. You know, we see the spiritual world through maybe, unless we're really enlightened, through our conditioned nature. Is that right? It's Atmanam Manyate Jagat. We think everything's the way we think it is. We think everybody else thinks the way we do, you know. Somebody tell me they put an I in the English language out of pride. You know, they put a capital I. And I just heard that the other day, that this capital I is an English thing. It's, you know, it's a big false ego. We put I first. You know, we could put a capital when something's important, is it? Or the beginning of a sentence. So, you know, we think we're really important. It's material consciousness. It should be a little I, actually. And a big I, well, not... Anyway, so... So, yeah, through this... I forgot what I was saying now. Through this... I'm talking about... Reciprocation, that's right. So, if Krishna's unlimited, then his potencies are unlimited. And what else is unlimited about Krishna? If all these things are... If everything's unlimited... He says, Aishvaryasha Samagrasha Virasha Yashashastriya what's the rest of it? Jnana Vairagya Yashchaiva Jnanam Balam Atinginaha. What's it? Anyway. Knowledge and... He says he's full in six opulences, but he's also full in a greater opulence, and that is which we heard about yesterday, the Ladini Shakti. There's no difference between the Ladini Shakti and Krishna, actually. You know, there's no difference between Krishna's consort and himself. They're actually one, but they're separated for pastimes. So, you know, that Ladini Shakti is none different from Krishna. Krishna is completely... full of love. And that is shown by this material world. You know, it's difficult. You know, a devotee can learn to see that. But if we have material vision, we won't see Krishna's love for the living entities. So, in the beginning of devotional service, you know, we have to have some gratitude for what we are getting. When we start to take to a process of spiritual emancipation, then we get some reciprocation very quickly. And then, you know, for most people, that will bring in, that person feels relief and he feels some gratitude. That's the first sign that we're actually making progress. If we don't feel grateful for what we're getting, then this is not so good. But most people won't feel grateful because they don't appreciate that there's a supreme person supplying everything. We think everything's, you know, in Yorkshire they say, everybody thinks things grow on trees. That means it's easy come, easy go. You just have to reach up and there it is. And therefore there's no gratitude in the world. It's just like take, take, take. But if we realize that everything's coming from that supreme person, then there's a feeling... When we approach that person, there's a feeling of gratitude. This is the first reciprocation. And in Bhagavad Gita, it explains that four kinds of people approach Krishna. And, you know, when they get something, they get some relief from their suffering condition or they get some opulence, then if they're actually a little bit conscious of God or Krishna conscious, they advance in devotional life. They want to know more about this person who's reciprocating with us. So then the hearing process comes in. This hearing process is so important because the next platform we have to come to is appreciation. You know, first, what is it? gratitude. First, gratitude. So that means take, and then appreciate. Oh, wait a minute! Appreciation of the other person, appreciation of that person's qualities. So this is where the hearing comes in, and then we can advance from this lower platform to the, what's that, the fourth one, the one who's very dear to Krishna. It's the one who's in knowledge. So without proper knowledge, we cannot really appreciate God. So that's why in this process of devotional emancipation, we're asked to hear very, very attentively and understand that person we're trying to approach. Satam prasanga mama virya samvido bhajanti ritkana rasayanakata tajoshinap apavargavartmani shradaratir bhakti anukramishyati. So, you know, in the association of pure devotees where we're all trying to follow purely, he says when we discuss about Krishna, it's very rasayanakata. It's very satisfying. Or it says pleasing, actually. But then in the purport, Prabhupada says, and satisfying. So it's like this verse in the 11th canto, you know, bhakti pareshana bhava viraktiya, that, you know, first there's devotion, some effort to serve Krishna. And then there's a connection, we start to understand Krishna. And then there's relief from material attachment. In the same way, there's pleasure when we eat, and then there's nourishment, and we feel satisfied, tushti pushti, and then nugasam. Then there's relief from hunger. So this comes by the hearing process. And this is when we come to the platform of knowledge. And then that devotee becomes very dear to Krishna because it's no longer just taking all the time. It's a matter that the devotee understands Krishna to some degree and is prepared to reciprocate with Krishna. And this is when we can really make progress in devotional service. Bhagavad Gita tells us that, you know, Vishaya Vinivartate Niharashidenam Raso Vajam Rasopyasha Param Drishva Nivartate. That, you know, in the purport, Prabhupada talks about, you know, we make an effort in devotional service. It's difficult to give up our attachment to the material things in life or to the attachment to them, not to give them up, but to, you know, become detached from the sense of enjoying them first and using them for the service of Krishna. And sometimes we have to give up certain things and we have to follow certain principles, as Rabindra was saying the other day, you know, there's some austerity required. But we can't maintain on that. If there's no taste, it's difficult. We have to have a taste for devotional service. And so this taste is coming from hearing about Krishna and then acting to serve Krishna in an appropriate way. And then there's reciprocation. Then we start to feel this push to this nourishment, satisfaction. So this is the beginning of all auspiciousness when we come to that platform. That Prabhupada said this is, we have to come from the platform of Kanishtha Adhikari, where everything's centered around this big I, this capital I, and reduce the I to a small I. It becomes when we start putting Krishna first. So, you know, sometimes it seems like a really overpowering thing to make a breakthrough in devotional service. You know, that, you know, I've been practicing now for 6 months. Or I've been practicing now for 2 years. Or I've been practicing now for 30 years. And I'm still waiting for a breakthrough. But actually those breakthroughs are happening every day. Prahlad Maharaj says in the 7th canto, Komanam Acharet Pragna, from the very beginning of childhood, Dharmam Bhagavadamiya, Durlabham Manasam Janma, Tab Apyadruvam Artadam. He says from the very beginning of childhood we should be practicing this process. And he says if we just perform a little bit sincere devotional service, this is what Krishna's looking for. Just a little bit of sincere devotional service, This can give us complete perfection. You know, it's like a change of heart, which it talks about in the Bhagavatam. You know, just like, okay, let me do something wholeheartedly for Krishna for a change. It's not easy. Wholeheartedly do something for Krishna. And that's the real beginning of devotional. Everybody's doing that to some degree. But the more we become conscious of that, then the more we'll feel really confident about this process of devotional service. You know, Krishna has unlimited love. And that's, we said in the beginning of this lecture, that it's shown through this universe that is created. All this universe is created just for the conditioned souls. Just so that, okay, you want to enjoy, there you go. Here's some guidelines. And also it's created for our, you know, relief from that situation. I mean, who would do that? You know, you're going to, it's this facility for every, for 8,400,000 of species to enjoy just the way they want to enjoy, unlimitedly. And then this facility to turn the whole life around and start devotional service again. So this is, an understanding of how merciful God is. He's creating so many situations just to bring us to that point. He's ready to reciprocate unlimitedly with us. Are we prepared to reciprocate a little bit back? He's giving all opportunity at every moment. And this is the key to devotional service, is that we see in every moment that Krishna's reciprocating. You know, we tend to think he's reciprocating in every situation except this one. You know, we tend to get into mental platform thinking that, but he can't reciprocate. You know, subconsciously we think, even though we know the philosophy, but he's not reciprocating. You know, it's my fault in this situation, or it's his fault. You know, we've had a day off today. No, he's reciprocating in every situation. And a devotee who learns to see that, then we never become, you know, devotional service never becomes acneed or old or dry. Because when we understand that Krishna's in this situation, is reciprocating, we feel enlivened. And, you know, we become more and more enthusiastic about devotional service, even though it may not be a situation which we would say is normally favorable for us. It seems like an unfavorable situation. Just like Prahlad Maharaj is an example. He had so much faith, and he saw Krishna in every situation, that even when his demoniac father tried to kill him in so many ways, he wasn't fazed by it. He was just thinking, Krishna's my well-wisher. You know, he's trying to help me. Even though this is a difficult situation. Mari Krishna Rakike, Raki Krishna Marike. If Krishna wants to kill me, there's nothing I can do about it. If he wants to save me, there's nothing I can do about it. So this is a platform of peacefulness, knowing that Bhaktaram Yogit Sarvalokam Suridam Sarvabhutanam, that Krishna is our ever well-wisher. This is the faith that's gradually developing in that particular verse. It explains that devotional service is a development of faith, and you know, we can obtain that. It says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya is talking about the third verse of the Shikshastikam. I think it's in the Anchalila, verse 20. I can't remember Bengali. It says, Premera Sambhava Yahan Premera Sambhava Se Mani Krishna Mora Nahi Prema Ganda. It says when one has love for somebody or something, he doesn't feel that, like especially a devotee, it says, he doesn't feel as if he's got any love for Krishna. He feels as if he hasn't got even one iota. So this is the nature of when we have a loving relationship. And it's explained that if we adopt the principle of this third verse of the Shikshastikam prayers, we start to imbibe that particular mood when we actually feel like that verse is speaking. What's that? Anybody like to recite it? Trinada Pisana Ichina. Trinada Pisana Ichina. Amanina Manidina Kirtania Sarahari. This means that, you know, we actually feel as if that everybody's better than me. Does everybody, anybody else, anybody feel like that? Put your hands up. Who feels like that? Everybody's better than me. Or I feel lower than the straw in the street. Or we're more tolerant than a tree. When we actually feel like that, we're on that platform of devotional service. And there's still a long way to go to the last verse, which means that, you know, the last stage is that, you know, I don't have to serve Krishna. Why should I serve Krishna? Look how he's treating me. The gopis feel like that, you know. He tracks them away from the husbands. They've got not, you know, they're completely isolated from society. You know, by Vedic custom, they can't go back home because now they're actually unchaste. And then when they come to him, he says, can I help you? He starts arguing with them why they should go back home. You know, anybody saying, forget it. You know, I'm not reciprocating with that. But when we come to the platform that we can even reciprocate with that, this is actually the last verse of the Shikshastakam. That we, you know, you can treat me roughly by your embrace, or you can make me broken-hearted by not being present before me. But actually, I'm still going to serve. So this is the ultimate reciprocation. But, you know, Krishna's just trying to get that little bit of, you know, it's like when we're doing books on the street, you know, somebody, no, I'm not bothered about it, but just give a little donation, you know. And we're going, all right then, you know. So, you know, we may be like that. But Krishna then, he sees that, oh, that's something I can work with now. So, you know, this is the hard work in devotional service. To start, you know, turning from that I to Krishna. Doing things to please Krishna. Seeing that in every situation, Krishna's reciprocating. And being, you know, really satisfied by that. It's happening so many times, but we just miss it all. You know, an obvious thing can happen, but we don't see Krishna. It's like the boatman on the roof. If God exists, come and save me. I don't believe in God. Keep shouting this, you know, there's a big flood. Then this boatman comes along. Shh, shh. Up on. No, God's got to come and save me. We don't see our Krishna's directing our activities. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes we don't see immediately and we really think, what do I do in this situation? Should I do this or should I do that? And we become, you know, it's like very draining sometimes, isn't it, when we don't know what to do. We think, well, why can't I just understand what I should be doing? And then, you know, eventually things start to pan out, you know. That option goes away, that option goes away, and then, oh, now I know what I should do. So sometimes it's like that also. This is making us think about life, think about what we're doing. It's keeping us focused. So even that in that situation, this, you know, this anxiety I'm feeling for, it's also helping, if we understand this is for Krishna, Krishna's helping me to become more thoughtful about my service, then we can also be enlivened. So, so how can we understand Krishna's mercy? You know, we may be doubtful about Krishna's mercy. Same as Atman Manite Jagat. We think everybody's like us. We may superimpose that on the Supreme Personality of God. It's impossible for us to understand how merciful he is because we're just not in that mindset. But, you know, these pastimes in the Bhagavatam are giving a clue. Like Putana, can you imagine? Putana, she looked like an exquisitely beautiful woman. And she walked into the Gokul and she walked past Mother Yashoda and all the gopis. They thought they were so captivated by her beauty. And then she took out her breast and she started to feed Krishna. And they were like really enamored that, you know, she was doing this. And it was actually a witch in disguise. But, and she looked at Krishna and she thought, this person It's very unusual. There's so much power. So this is the verse, you know, Krishna's power is always there. But then she was covered again, and she started to feed Krishna. And then Krishna, understanding this is a witch, he started to suck out a life air. And, you know, with that, a strength went, and her ability to keep that exquisite form diminished. And then she took on a usual form, and she became a huge Rakshasa. And in that verse it says, Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam jigimsayap apisadvi lebe dajim dam chananyam kamvadayalam shanamvajema. It says that, how merciful the Supreme Lord is. You know, what would you do if a witch came in disguise and tried to poison you? Would you be reciprocal with that? He says that even though that witch came to kill Krishna, he was thinking, wow, she's doing some service. She's actually come to me and she's offered her breast milk, even though it was poison. He took the good side. And therefore he reciprocated with her and gave her eternal life. And she became his nurse. So we can understand that this is Krishna. And so therefore in this situation, any situation, we can remember this particular pastime, that if he's as merciful to the Putana demon as that, how much merciful is to somebody who's coming to serve him directly and not poison him? So Krishna's mercy is there. We can take it or leave it. You know, devotional service is a positive process. We always have to see the good side. And if we can always see the good side in every situation, then this movement will, not just ourselves, but the whole movement will spread very rapidly. So we can stop there.